Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Namaditamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so Western Ocean, Second Wave, Chapter 40, Verse 162. An example of Satvika Bhavas. Having seen the lotus feet of Mukunda, your body has become immobile, covered with perspiration, with hair standing on end. Your body is imitating a flowering thorn bush spread in the snow. 3.2.163. All the Avichari Bhavas described for those with some Brahma Priti manifest on those with Gaura Priti. Yes?
A side question.
Yes.
Is there snow in the spiritual world?
Must be.
In India, we don't have it. I mean,
no, but it's up on the mountains. Oh. So that's all you need. It's up there. It's like, you know, just, except for sages, who's going to go up there? Right?
Okay.
But yeah, I'm sure in the mountains around, there'll be snow. Maybe on the very top of Govardhan, there's some snow.
Prabhupada made a comment first time he saw snow in his window. Oh, what's this? Devotees, Prabhupada, this is snow. In the spiritual world, there is no, but it's sweet.
But it's sweet.
Sweet.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, because everything here doesn't lacking. I don't know, because now you can't do it. When I was a kid, you get fresh snow, you get a bowl of that, put some vanilla, put some sugar, put a little bit of milk, just enough to mix it up. Then you had snow ice cream.
Wow.
It was pretty good. But now you can't. The snow doesn't. It's not clean.
Yeah, it's polluted.
Yeah, but then it was good.
We need snow just like this. But yeah. I think when we went shore.
USSR, you know, it's just leaking snow.
Right.
Then you get the bowl, little vodka.
Then it melts.
Oh, yeah, you have snow.
Yeah.
You have snow now, yeah.
Yeah, no, they have a lot of snow. Yeah. So you see this. So basically, the Satvika Bhavas may have that particular thing, but the Vyavicharas would be the same. So sometimes just a little bit of, there's a slight difference. Otherwise, if there's not a difference, why would it have a different category? So there's a slight difference on how they. So they become the Gaura. It means that it has that aspect of service, but they become more of a focus of attention. While in the Sambrahma, then it's going to be the attention's all on Krishna from them. But in this Gaurav, then, you know, they have that, but Krishna's attention is on them in that way. Harsha, Joy, 3.2.164. When the conch Panchajanya sounded in the sky from far off, all the hairs on the bodies of young Yadu princes in Dwarka began to dance with the dancers. Srila Prabhupada. When Cupid came on one occasion to visit Lord Krishna, some devotee addressed him thus, "My dear Cupid, because you have been so fortunate as to have placed your eyesight on the lotus feet of Krishna, the drops of perspiration on your body have become frozen, and they resemble kantiki fruits, a kind of small fruit found in thorny bushes. These are signs of ecstasy and veneration for the Supreme Personality of Godhead." When the princes, so this is Cupid, so he has that kind of mood. "These are signs of ecstasy and veneration for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the princes of the Yadu dynasty heard the vibration of Krishna's Panchajanya Kansha, the hairs on their bodies immediately stood up in ecstatic jubilation. It seemed that at that time that all the hairs on the bodies of the princes were dancing in ecstasy." Because you also have the point is Cupid is Prajumna. You know, but at the same time, is that means that the Devata would also have a similar. They're also devotees. 3-2-1-65. Because Cupid would have to be, right? If he's not a devotee, he wouldn't necessarily run things the way he's supposed to run in the universe. Right? If he was an asura, how would he manage it? Mm-hmm. You know, things would, it would be too, it would, it, yeah, things wouldn't go properly. Yes?
So can we say from this that there are no asuras that manage anything in the universe on the global level? Only there are.
Who would want to manage? Just enjoy yourself. It's said in the fifth canto that their facilities is greater than the heavenly planets because they just demand more.
Because you say I'm the enjoyer and the controller.
Yeah.
So in a sense, who would, want to manage?
It's just if someone else can manage, but you see they always try to come up and take over the demigods because they want that position of power and all that, whether they want to do the work. Because generally you see is when they take over, the demigods still manage the universe. Mm-hmm. It's just that the demons are in charge. They get the prestige. Mm-hmm. But it's not that someone comes in and wants to do the work of a Vayu or something. No, they just want to sit in Amaravati. You know, it's just, it'd be like they have their own place and then you have your vacation home, you know. You know, it's like you have, what is it, you know, your place in Paris, but you also have one down in southern, you know, the south of France. You know, so it's just you want that kind of thing. You know, you have here, you have there. It's whatever you want, you can have. Yes.
There are stories about some demonic families, like sons of Mayadana. The younger son becomes a Vidyadhara. I mean, in charge of all the Vidyadharas. That happens only when they are submissive to either Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma. And
yeah, there has to be some qualifications.
Yes.
That's the qualification. Otherwise, they're just on their own, just because they want it. So, because the Vedic system is not by what you want; it's what you qualify. It means you can want whatever you want, but you only get what you're qualified for. Yeah. You know, this is a yeah.
Basically, if they have good qualities, they become also.
Yeah. So that's fine. I mean, Kalagmaras, just because they're born in that line doesn't mean they have to act in that way. But in general, you just say the devas and the demons. Then. But many times you have those, you know, like the Lagma for instance, example. 3-2-1-65. Nirveda, self-deprecation. O Sambha, you are very fortunate, because when you crawl to Krishna with your body covered with dust, he picks you up in great affection and puts you on his lap. I am unfortunate, because of the unfortunate actions of the expansions of the demon Shambha, I did not receive even for a moment that loving care from my father. Srila Prabhupada. In addition to jubilation, there are sometimes symptoms of disappointment. Prajumna was and does Sambha with these words. My dear Sambha, you are such a glorified personality. I have seen that once when you were playing on the ground, your body became covered with dust. Yet our father, Lord Krishna, still took you up on his lap. But I am so unfortunate that I could never get such love from our father. This statement is an example of disappointment and love. Right, because he was, you know, that element with being with Sambha. So then, when he comes to the palace, he's already grown. Mm-hmm. Like that, because he was there, and then what's her name? Something Bhati? His wife, you know, as Cupid, then she was working in Sambha's kitchen. Mm-hmm. Mayavati. And so then, when she figured out what's going on, she raised him. So he didn't get, and then only when he was an adult, then he was taken back. So when Prajumna came into the palace, he's already married. You know, like that. So he missed out on all those kind of, those elements of upbringing and Krishna arranging the marriage and all these kind of things. So that's what he's saying here. The self-deprecation, you know, you're so much more fortunate, you're so greater because of this. Srila Jiva Goswami. Sambhara Mayi means by the portions of Sambhara. Sambhara could assume any form he wanted. Assuming such a form, he stole Prajumna when he was 10 days old and threw him in the ocean. Thus, Prajumna did not meet his father for some time after his birth. 3-2-1-66. Stai Baba. the mentality that the Lord is one's loving protector, born from the feeling that one belongs to him as a son, is called Gaurav. Such priti towards a protector is called Gaurav Priti Rati. Shri Jiva Goswami. Guru Dhi means thinking that this person is one's father. This particular Gaurav is defined in relation to family members. Since Gaurav can also mean reverence in general. Right, so it's that reverence in family relationships. A summary is now given after considering various verses which define priti, dasya ras, in general and particular from various angles. Dasya rati was defined as follows. When persons identify themselves as inferior to the Lord, they are called the recipients of mercy, anugraha. Their rati, in which Krishna is perceived as worthy of worship, is called priti. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2:5-27. Those who have attraction for the Lord with the thought that they are inferior to the Lord are called recipients of the Lord's mercy, anugraha. The rati of such persons who think that the Lord is worthy of worship is called priti rati. In that priti rati, there are two types according to differences in the taste. When the recipient of mercy acts out of desire to do service with his body, dashabat, it is called samprama priti. And when the recipient identifies himself as the object of parental affection, it is called gaurav priti. Bhakti Rasamrita 3:2-4. A doubt is arising? No? No, okay. Dasatva means the desire to do some service using one's own body. It is therefore called sambrama, which means eager. Sambrama is also called because this sambrama, eagerness for service, is most prominent. Lalatvam means desire to be caressed and cared for by the Lord. Therefore, it is called Gaurav, meaning related to the parent, Guru. Gaurava Priti is also called because that Priti has a predominance of the desire for interaction with the Lord acting as a parent. The characteristics of Sai Baba, called Samrama Priti, Rati, were described. Trembling with eagerness for service and having great respect, because of knowledge of the Lord's greatness, is the quality of Samrama. Priti, taking the Lord as worshipable, combined with this sambrama, is called sambrama priti. Bhakti, because you can have the great respect and knowledge and the greatness of the Lord, but that doesn't mean that it becomes priti. It's just knowledge. So you see many times these jnanis, they have that knowledge of the Lord, his position and all that, but it doesn't move forward into this eagerness for service, you know, so therefore it just stays at Shanta. Because in their mind, seeing the Lord, seeing him everywhere, that is their service. So it doesn't have to have a physical service to it. Kampa, trembling, here means haste. How shall I do this service most properly? So that's also the aspect is, you're doing everything for Krishna. It's the devotion, but still the servant is thinking how to do this properly. Because sometimes you get that you have to do it properly because this is the mechanics of how it's done, and they forget that it's being done for Krishna. Then another party may say that, oh, it's being done for Krishna, so the technical points don't matter. It's just you just do whatever you want, you try your best, and that's it. So they're not actually trying to get the best result because, you know, it doesn't matter. It's all, so you get that sentimental kind of thing. You know, hippies would.
Near enough is good enough.
Hmm?
Near enough
is good enough. Yeah, because it's all about the bow and this and that. And, you know, so they just spend their time doing their own stuff. And then, so here's that there's that sambrama, that eagerness to perform service to the best possible way. Yes.
In terms of Krishna conscious education, some start from the mood and then teach all the technical.
Right.
Others start from technical because it's easy apparently and then install the mood. Mm-hmm. So which one would be better?
The point is that if you're in training, you deal with whichever one's happening at the time. If there's some technical thing, you train them in that. When there's some attitude thing, you train them in that. So just like, let's say, the boys are sweeping. So you show them technically how to sweep. And you know, if the attitude's right, you just focus on the sweeping part. You know, tech pointing out how they missed this or do that, or how, you know, in the corners, you make the broom go in like in a circle, or it's really down, you grab the end of the broom so it becomes really tight, and then you can, you know, scrape things out. And you can show all these things. But now, what you see is that they're just standing there and kind of swinging their arm and like that, then it's not technique, now it's a mentality. You know, because they're not actually focusing on the sweeping, they're distracted by something or, you know, something else. Now you talk about attitude. So you're going to constantly doing both. Means when you can teach, in other words, when you can teach technique, you teach it. And when is the opportunity for mood, you teach that. Because you have to, they both have to go together. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if you do all one without the other, then you may end up with someone who's sentimental or someone who's, you know, more just ritualistic. They have to go together. So that's the thing about when you're teaching a person, it's going to be as it moves as with the person, at the speed the person can handle it, and the volume they can handle it, and the intensity they can handle it. So it's going to be every student will be different. So that's why then the teacher has to have all that and then apply it. So you have a general, you go through the curriculum like this. You know, when you come in, you'd start these things and that. But some boys, it'll take them years to get certain things together. Other boys will catch that immediately. Like the Bengali boys, because they grew up in the village, so everybody's working, that they probably themselves, you know, people are sweeping, doing this, that, they for fun just pick up brooms and start to sweep. You know, just because they just copy what everybody else is doing. Right? So then when they would come to the school at 5 or 6, they could sweep, you know, fine. You know, very responsibly, they could sweep the whole courtyard. Pick up the dirt, throw the dirt away, put the broom back, you know, because we used to also, you have to get a bucket of water, sprinkle the place first, you know, so you don't get too much dust. And you know, they could do that at 5, 6 years old, like that. But you see, boys that haven't grown up in that environment, then it takes them longer to catch. You know, because they're, like for many, their mom's not necessarily cleaning. You know, they'll have a maid come in. And so who pays attention to the maid, unless the maid is, you know, also engaged to kind of take care of you and that, so it becomes a bit of a nurse. Otherwise, you won't notice. So then, we had one Indian boy come in. He must have been also one of these kind of more, you know, more educated Wallas. He came in and he was like 20. And when we handed him a broom, he said that was the first time he's ever touched a broom in his life.
Wow.
You know, because the servants cleaned, he never cleaned. So he was like, but you know, because he knew, he understood, he was convinced of the whole thing. So he got down there and applied his intelligence, whatever he, you know, whatever he was good at, and you know, technology or this, that, he applied it into, you know, his sweeping. So he did a good job.
Wrote a software while he could read books.
Yeah, yes.
Mechanical engineering.
Yeah, come back after 3 weeks and there's a machine out there sweeping. Like that.
Yeah,
he's sitting on the veranda.
One of my friends literally does. He used to come for the classes also. Everything, there is a machine already in 3-4 weeks. Even small room.
Yeah, but they could. So you have that. So sometimes, but if they're young, then it'll take them a little longer because they don't have that value. You know, because for the village boy, his parents did the work. You know, it's like something's wrong with the house. The father gets out his machete and that, and you know, the wires and rope, and he goes out, cuts a bamboo, comes back, splits it himself, does everything, and then fixes, you know, whatever's the problem in the wall. Like that, or the place needs to be clean. His mother's sweeping, his mother's putting the cow down, his mother's doing all the different things. So it's just for them, it's just a normal thing what adults do. But if they haven't seen that, then the difficulty comes up, they don't value it. So then by association it takes. So for them, the technique, you know, you'll have shown them. And you'll definitely have to mention it over that 2 years. But for that 2 years, you'll be talking more about attitude. Well, someone else, they have the attitude to see, and then it'll just be more the technique. Then they use it, and then you'll go into something else. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's very organic. So you have a general way that the curriculum works. But to say is that, okay, in this much time we have to do this. But then it's just like here. Some days we do, one paragraph or one sentence. And other days we do, we've done 17 pages, 20 pages. So then if we say, no, every day we have to do, 7 pages or something like that, then the problem is we don't answer the questions. It's just like, if someone has a question, we don't have time. So you don't move. You have to move at the speed of the students. So sometimes it's very quick, sometimes it's slow. Then you train in values, then you see practically, then you bring it to, they can bring it to manana. Otherwise, the other way, they've heard shravana, but you haven't cleared doubts. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you have to do both. You have to know both, and you have to be aware of when you can use both, when to apply. Does that make sense? So it becomes a very important aspect. That's what makes the Gurukul system unique. Just like when Vishwamitra took Ram and Lakshman, then depending upon what came up in the conversation, that's what he would teach. Like at night, they're sitting there because, they're moving, they live outside under the tree, then you're going to have all the constellations, so they would talk about astronomy. When they're going through the forest, they might talk about the different plants and this and that, how to deal with them, or, medical things, or just whatever was coming up in the conversation, that's what they dealt with. So what does that mean? That means you have to know all that knowledge. Then, when the opportunity is there, then you can teach it. So that's why we see from Krishna's education, then the understanding the 14 books of Vedic knowledge, that was standard. That's standard what the teacher would know. And then, that's the ones you hear about. It's not that there's not a teacher that just knows astronomy or this or that. So if need, you bring him in. Or he runs a school that's just for astronomy. But otherwise, the standard Gurukul then would be dealing with all of these. They would know all 14 books. Details, it depends on the individual. But the principle, they would all know. And then how much detail they know, that's what you can learn. They can guide you for more. And then that's why then after the graduation, it's a snatika, they could go somewhere else. Let's say if they're into that astronomy, they could go to someone who's really good in astronomy and learn more detail. Before then before they get married and then take up and they use it. If that's part of their lifestyle and all that, then you can use it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So that would be, that's why the focus on the 14 books. That's why it's sometimes more difficult to tell what we're doing in the school.
Because
you're working on all these 14, you're working on all these aspects. So what you see is you just see all the ashram stuff. Because the academics are there, but it's not, you can't go into a room that's got English stuff plastered all over the walls and on the board, and it's an English room. You go to another one, it's all math. You go to another one, it's all art. You go to another one, it's all music. You just have a veranda, whichever's going on, that's what you get out. So then you can also eat there, the boys can have recreation there, they can sleep there at night. So everything can go on there, you can have, any class there. So that's the thing, is that with one veranda you can do everything. But in the modern you have to have all these different things. So that's why the Vedic is more difficult to understand, because it's about training the individual. Because they always talk, as a person, that's all the Gurukul education does. It trains them how to deal with that. Because you can't say that what you're teaching, it's just like in the IT world. Whatever you've learned, by the time you graduate and go out and get yourself a job, all of it is gone. I mean, some fundaments are there. Yeah, there's still, the binary system is still there, isn't it? Or have they moved on from ones and zeros?
Yeah, still ones and zeros.
Okay, so that much will stay. But everything else is gone. And that's it. Like, we still have problems that, because some of our teachers, they were, on the right in the beginning into the computers and all that and stuff. And so in the beginning, when you had a file name, it couldn't be more than 8 letters. Back in the DOS program. still to this day, they like to use the shortest possible things. When you could put a whole paragraph as a file heading now. But they'll keep it down to so terse that even they don't understand what it means. And then you feel good. You know? So that's the whole point. If they were out in the world, they'd get fired. So it's just they won't move on from that. But if you go out there, you have to. You know, if you can't find the file, then they'll get someone else who can find the file. So the most important thing you can train is an attitude of how to work, to be able to work, to have that respect, to value the knowledge, be able to study, control the senses, you know how to behave properly for the particular, you know, situation, occasion, who you are and everything. That you can fit into anything, anywhere, and be successful. So that's the real training in the Vedic system. Then it works very nicely. Otherwise, the other, you can train him in whatever it is, and then it moves on and it doesn't mean anything anymore. You know, it's just like you're in the class, I don't know where it got it, unless I do it, I don't know. It's that, all the you know, remember that one kid, everything was you know, constantly, beginning of the sentence, end of the sentence, like that. And so then at one point, one of the parents, who English is not their first language, he was making a comment, all this you know, he was really annoyed, you know, because he's probably learned very properly and everything like that. But that's only one kid that I know of does that. So somehow or another, he picked that up. It's an American thing.
It's New York.
Okay, it's New York.
Yeah. The other day, I know.
Yeah, I mean, you can have a whole conversation just with that.
They have the same people.
Because it also changed the tone, how long you say it, you know, the context, so that one word can do so many things. You know, it's like, you know, it can do everything with it. You know, it's like dogs barking, you know, they have a limited repertoire, but how they bark and all that, then you get, you know, so. Yeah, so somehow or another he was like that and it annoyed that other devotee. So thing is that, you know, wherever he goes, I do it. It's American. Because in India in the beginning, there were only New Yorkers. You know, Bhavananda, Achyutananda, they were all from New York. So I don't even notice it. I noticed it in him because maybe he didn't quite do it the same refinement or something. But like I was thinking, why is he saying you know all the time?
When not native English speakers, they do that then it really bothers you. Otherwise you don't feel it because of the accent and everything.
Yeah, okay, well the native just fits in. Yeah, he must have picked it up.
That's the answer to your question.
Yeah. That work?
Yes, thank
you. Okay, yeah. So that's why you see as the boys have come out, they can do anything that they have a nature for, they can do. To say, oh no, but what if they want to do this or that? There's no school in the world that teaches like that. Right? Could you go to, let's say, Harvard School of Business Management, and then you go to the dean and say, okay, so he gets out of the school, but what happens if he wants to be a doctor? How are you training him for that? They'll say, go to the medical college. You know, or what if he wants to do law? Go to the law college. Why are you coming to our college? You know? You want to know business, you do that. So there's no school on the planet that teaches it. So that's the thing, the Vedic will teach you the mentality to be able to work wherever it is you like. But the details of it, you may or may not get in the Gurukul. Some Gurukuls may have more, some less, depending on the individuals that are there. But in any case, how long does it take? You get on the job and anything like that, in a few weeks you know what to do. You know, unless it's like neural brain surgery, then you need a little more training. You know? But anything else that anybody goes out and gets a job at, you know, in an office, there's some weeks they can do it. You know. But something like business, you can't teach business. You either know it or you either have the nature or you don't. You can teach someone how to assist a businessman. That's called the MPA. But the kid already knew that when he was small. You know, already 8 years old, he's trading his sandwich for this something else and getting this and that. And it's already happening. So it says this, that's the way it goes. It says, you can't train Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, nature. You can't train into them that nature. You can train the nature that's already there. So that's the Vedic system is different because of that. So you're training an attitude. So you see, here's what they're all talking about, is the attitude. You haven't heard any specific details of technique of service. Because if you have the attitude, the technique will come. You have the nature, you can do it.
Yesterday, the GBC, you know, they post these things regularly now.
Oh, okay.
I mean, every day, like two or three times a day, you're getting the mail. Because of the virus, you know, they promote a lot of stuff. And yesterday, they came up with this. Avila Roy. He's a boy from Calcutta.
Avila Roy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So he had a 10-minute video of him and his story. And the guy is short, was bullied at school, came from a very noble family from Calcutta, back to a lady who used to work the government with Gandhi all the way back. Mm-hmm. And his mother said, you choose politics or entrepreneurship. And she said, politics, you'll be lousy. So he said, okay, I'll get into business. Went to Chicago, went to the school, began to create a startup. Was rejected by 300 companies in America. Useless. I don't even want your phone number. Contemplated suicide. Comes back to India. Now he's got 8 companies. He's employing 8,000 people. And he just goes from one talk show to another. I mean, you've got to see the guy. Initiated devotee. Mm-hmm. Goes to the temple, listens to classes. Mm-hmm. And he talks about it. Everything is about attitude. Mm. Everything that he talks about is attitude about life.
Yes.
To be successful. He said, I knew nothing. Mm-hmm. He said, look where I am today.
Yeah. Yeah,
so I'll send you the link. Mm-hmm. It's on the Eastcom news.com. Avila Roy. Mm. I mean, he is like the success story of Eastcom India.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty far. Short guy, you know, he's like, no, stop. You're not going to make it. You'll not make it. You're going to fight. You're going to fight. You understand? You're going to fight. You fall, you get up. You fight. You understand?
Why, he should get 2 samosas and I only get 1. Kampa, trembling, here means haste. How shall I do the service most promptly? Samrama Priti has a predominance of this desire to fill the Lord's wishes quickly by service. Then another quote. Affection for Krishna by those who identify themselves as his objects of caresses is called Gauravotara. When this affection is nourished by elements starting with Vibhava, it is called Gaura Priti Rasa. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.2.124. The above verse 144 speaks of Gaura Priti Rasa. In the present verse 166, in speaking of Gaura Priti Rasa, the Stai Bhava of Gaura Priti Rasa, the author now describes the characteristics of this Raki. Thinking that Krishna is the protecting, caressing figure, Guru Dihi, from considering bodily relationship, Deha Sambandita Manad, from considering oneself born from the Lord as his infant child, identifying oneself as his is called Gauravam Priti. Gauravam Priti, adoration of the Lord with such thoughts, thinking of him as parent, is called Gaura Priti Rati. Even though thinking of oneself as a small child and the Lord as a loving figure is separate from being the actual offspring of the Lord, and it joins with being the offspring of the Lord and a mature stage of devotion, it is preferable to see them as non-different, being cause and effect. The thoughts of being a small child as the cause and being the offspring of the Lord as the effect. This has been stated in the work a little This has been stating in the work a little. However, a difference in some circumstances should be understood to exist. Okay, the thoughts of the cause, and then being the offspring of the Lord. So the first thing is not about that they're offspring of the Lord. It's that mood towards, and then being the offspring of the Lord, than that we saw before, like with Prajumna speaking to Samba. Then it adds to what's there. Does that make sense? It's not the main thing. So the interesting thing comes up is because we'll generally take it, but wouldn't this be Vatsalya? No, Vatsalya is the parent. The child's actually in Dasya.
Yeah.
But this is an intimate Dasya. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Like that. So because the relations are with Krishna. Krishna is tasting the parental rasa. So a devotee has that mood of parent towards him. And you see always those things, especially when he's small, you know, he does service, you know, he brings Nanda Baba's shoes, or Shodamai says, you know, bring that pot, but it's so big he can't, so he just kind of puts his hands around it and waves them, like, you know, he's trying to do something. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it has that, that's what I was asking before, was this doubt coming up?
Yeah.
You know? So then, because that's their side, and so they serve. So you can see is that would be one of the breakdowns in the family when the children don't have that respect for parents, then the Vatsalya Rasa can't really function, and so then where's the relationship? You know, or they have that mood, but the parent doesn't take care. You know, so the point is you have to have both of these: that the parent wants to take care, and the child has that respect for the parent.
In that sense, Dasya Rasa is a fundamental principle for all the rasas.
Yeah. Well, as you go up, they're all there. Because the cowboys are all rendering service.
Yes.
Now, whether the service means it's a junior, a senior, an equal, or confidential.
This will do the manjaris.
Yeah, it's all.
Everybody's serving. Radharani is the best serving.
Yeah. And even Krishna comes to serve himself as Govardhan.
Yeah, right.
You know. So like that, and then as expansion as Balaram, because there's a different personality that he serves. So he's the supreme personality of servitor Godhead, right?
I wanted to, this is something I had in mind for a while, this is something that's probably happening. Like we're discussing now, there's Dasya Ras, but the principle of service is there in every rasa.
Yeah.
Now, we also know that our relationship as sadhakas to Lord Chaitanya is also Dasya.
Yes.
But it's Dasya in terms of just serving Lord Chaitanya to get his mercy, to get purified. It's not Dasya in terms of Dasya Ras as such.
It means you have that, means the generic thing, because you have the aspect, there's an attitude, like you're saying here, the attitude is that first thing. Then the surroundings, because the point is being the child of the parent, that's just a technicality. Having the attitude of the child and that relationship with the parent, that's the main thing, that's the central. That's the primary thing, that's the cause. Then the effect will be that, you know, you have that relationship and act on that. So, because you have, you know, children that don't see the parent that way, and so then they are not dealt with that way. And then there are people who are not, and they deal in that way. And even though they're not, like so many times, just like say, you have the friend, you know, you have your let's say your grandparent, and you have a good friend, and he doesn't have a grandparent, so he relates to your grandparent as a grandparent. Sometimes he's more deals with them than you do. So then you're having a discussion and he talks about grandfather, and then you're thinking, you know, who's that? And then okay. You know, then suppose, no, my grand, but it's the attitude that makes the relationship. Then that's the second, because that can then be used. So then, where do we go from there? That was to explain something. Oh yes, so the whole point is there's that attitude of that service and all that, so that service is always going to be there. Okay? Now you ready for the kicker?
Go with the kicker.
Okay. Yeah. So the whole point is the maidservants they have a conjugal relationship with Krishna, not with Radharani. They have a, they're in the mood of dasya for Radharani.
That's the Manjaris.
That's the Manjaris, yeah. So that's why then that's what's going, because who's leading this movement? Yeah, but I'm saying who's leading? The Sakis?
No.
The Manjaris.
The Manjaris, yeah. That's true.
So the point is those who are on that level. And at the same time, you said the generic, I mean, if you want to become a Sakya, you can, or you want to be anyone else, parental and this and that. But there's still that mood of service. All the Vrajvasis have that mood of service. You know, because Radharani is the, I mean, just like in Vaikuntha, everybody serves Lakshmi. So there will be that. And then you may have the specific, like it said, the effect, you may have that. That, you know, that they're, you know, how you say it, equal to you, or as a parent, and she may be junior, you know, or these kind of aspects like that.
Yes. Also, even in the aspect of the being the sakis, they're still in one sense the servants. Just like when a queen comes, when a princess comes, she, along with her, our friends comes. So okay. They're considered as her friends.
They're still junior.
They're junior. Actually, in one sense, serving her.
Yeah, you know, so it's like you have the, I think it was, I don't know her name. But you know, so it's like, you know, Louis, his wife, then she has her friends.
Marie Antoinette.
Yes, but then they are junior to her. But at the same time, as they're dealt with like equals, they have the same, they dress the same facility, but she's that step higher. So, you know, if she needs, they have to get something done for her. So that'll be different than the ones that just run around just doing service all day. Because if she walks, they walk with her. She sits, they sit. She eats, they eat. You know, but the servants, they just take care of that. So it's still, like he's saying, it's still a service. But so that service attitude is always going to be there. But then with the maid servants, then, you know, means as following Rupa Goswami, then you have that attitude of that servitor element towards Radharani. Mm-hmm. Now, what is the effect going to be, which rasa it's going to be in, that's another thing. Right. But the cause will be the same.
So the structure is service to Guru, get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, access to Goswamis.
Yes. And that means then you'll understand Radha-Krishna pastimes. So everyone's serving. So that's why you have, depending upon how you're looking at it, it's like a lot of times you put Krishna as the object, means where the energy is directed, where the attention is directed. But when you also have the explanation according to grammar, so then the Vishaya is the subject, and the ashraya is the object. So sometimes when it switches, devotees don't catch that. Because much of the time up to now, you've seen it's always been talking about Krishna's the object of one's affection and things like that. And so that's there. But then if you put it there, then where's Krishna's attention? It's on Radharani. Everybody else is assisting Radharani. So that means she is the supreme object. It means all the devotees are putting their attention to her. And Krishna's putting their attention to her.
He wants to serve her.
Yeah, so then she's the supreme object. But who is everybody talking about? It's Krishna. He's the supreme subject. And he's also the one who then is making it, is, how you say, interacting with everybody. He's the Vishaya. Does that make sense? So the whole point is if Lord Chaitanya is taking the mood of Radharani, there must be that mood of service. Everybody's going to be serving. So here, that's why then Jiva Goswami's pointed this out, right? It is Jiva Goswami speaking, no? Yes, Shri Jiva Goswami speaking here. That he's pointing out that there's, it's been stated in the work a little, however, a difference in some circumstances should be understood to exist. So then this answers that question you have here, is that, that servitorship is a cause, it's a generic mood, and then the effect that it will make, one may be a mature, one may be a saki, one may be parental, one may be a coward boy, it doesn't matter, but that service is going to be there. Because even the coward boys, they serve Nityananda, but Nityananda's serving Lord Chaitanya. Mm. You know, even if it's parental, that still they're going to be serving, you know, under Sachimata, she's serving Lord Chaitanya.
Yes.
So there's always going to be that attitude of service. It's always going to be there. So the point is that's why we see in the what we're talking about the Bhav Sadhana from the position of Brahmabhuta, from liberation. It's still the first point is the attitude that is there. That's the first thing. That's Shravana Dasa. Understanding that, hearing, seeing the others, being involved in that attitude. The second is Varna Dasa, where now you're the effect, now you're adjusting to. But if you don't have the cause, there can't be an effect. Right? If there's no cause, how can there be effect? That's the point. Sahaji is talking about, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Where's the cause for that? You know? It has to be that there's Rati for Krishna in that particular way. Then the effect can be very specific. So you have to have that generic. The cause is first. You adjust to the cause. That aspect, the attitude of service. Then the effect can be a very specific service. That's Varna Das. Then, now having those two in place, now it's a matter of Smarana Dasa, how much you're absorbed in Krishna. It means you're a great devotee, you're liberated, but is it come to the point of Samadhi? Has it come to that point of the, what is it, Utkantita? You know, that feeling of separation, of you know, that desiring to serve Krishna in that way. Has it come to that where it's exclusive? Or it's that and something else? So that's the whole thing. You see that when the gopis, they were able to go because it's exclusive. So when Krishna plays the flute and they're serving prasad, they just put down the pot and spoon and walk out. Or, you know, I mean, of course, they'll hand someone, oh, hey, do this, and then, you know, I have to get this, and then they don't come back.
They don't put it down, they drop it.
That's there, but you don't want to create too much of a scene.
The root cause of attitude spiritually is sharanagati, isn't it? You can't have the right attitude.
Yeah, you would say yes.
Unless
yes.
You have full surrender.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, because Krishna says, as you surrender, he reciprocates.
Right.
So that whole point of up to prema, that's all. It's all that surrender. Mm-hmm. And you see, after that, it's still just surrender. How the gopis are seeing Krishna in that way. You know, it's just like Krishna, he is the Lord of Vrindavan. Everything is his. It's all his energy and everything like that. So by tattva, it's correct. But at the same time, it's when the gopis are picking flowers, and he claims, this is my forest, so these are my flowers, and you can't pick my flowers. And they argue with him, what are you talking about? This is your forest. Is it called, is it called Krishnavana? No, it's called Vrindavana. It's her forest, not yours. So therefore, she's our friend. We pick the flowers. You know. So because they're dealing in that way, Krishna reciprocates in that way.
That's the work of your own eye.
Yes, yes. Because that relationship, the taste is so great. See, that's the thing, is that being God is overrated. Relationship, that's the actual important thing. But it's not that he's not God and the position is not there, that authority and everything is that, but at the same time, it's that the relationship is higher. So Prabhupada is explaining and teaching Queen Kunti that when she's talking about him being Atmarama, that's because the materialists, they don't approach him in relationship. Therefore, he's Atmarama. He's self-satisfied. But if anyone approaches him in a relationship, he reciprocates that. So if they approach in devotion, he reciprocates in that. But they don't, then, you know, the whole material world, he's Atmarama. It's as though they're not interacting. You know, they're interacting with him as money or a car or, you know, power or something. So he just responds to them in those ways. You serve him properly as money, he reciprocates in the form of, you know, flat pieces of paper with faces on them and large numbers.
Sometimes he even incarnates as a horse.
That's also... I mean, he means he's everything anyway. He's also whatever is going on. So he just interacts with whatever it is. How you say? Yeah, it means like you're saying. You perform the duties of maintaining a wet market, and Krishna will reciprocate by coming as a coronavirus. You know, so it's just, you know, you're maintaining, you're doing your duties properly as a wet market, so you deserve the full fruits of a wet market. No?
Yeah.
Like, someone was just saying a couple of days ago now that a new swine flu has come up.
Yeah, it's out.
Huh?
It's already out.
All Chinese.
Yes. That's why I'm here.
Don't go.
But they say it doesn't last long because it's made in China.
That's a good one. They can't even do it properly. Now the Germans, now they can make a virus. Right? Yes.
Anyways, Chinese are purchasing all the German companies now.
Yeah. Should watch out for that. Very good. Okay, is that good?
Yes.
So that's what these subtleties are brought out, because because what we're doing is we're seeing something where there is a variety, and we're catching one part of it, but not seeing the connection with the others, or what's the relationship, and then we'll get, you know, confused. So then this comes there, is that, because we'll take servitorship's just one category, but no, everything's service. Like, so the same way, it's just like we were saying before, is that the appreciation of the Lord and the devotees is the basis of all relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Then naturally you want to do service.
Mm-hmm.
Then there'll be that particular form,
mm-hmm.
you know, the effect of it, you know, that they'll come. So then. Okay. So even the Shantabhaktas are rendering service, but it doesn't mean that there's an action of service. It's that appreciation is the service. Right? But because there's no possession, it doesn't take on an active form, a dynamic form. Yeah, therefore it's passive.
Appreciation is an attitude.
Yes, it is an attitude. So therefore it's a service in itself. But then you see, is that taking it further, then that sense is there, you want to do something specific. So then it takes on the Sambrahma and the Gaurava Preeti. So, yeah, because also you have, the whole thing's called Preeti. So that means the whole thing is service. But it's specifically then Preeti Rasa.
It's an interesting phenomenon that in worshipping the deities, for sadhaka to do manasa puja, it's quite high. And to do like physical service, anybody can do it.
Mm, yes.
So for sadhaka, it's like this. But for siddhas, because their mind is fixed on Krishna,
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, shanta is lowest in terms of rasas, and then you do physical, so it expands actually.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's the highest there, it's the lowest here. But the point is because it's being done connected to Krishna, therefore that service here becomes the highest.
Yeah.
So that's, we do Manasa Puja, but there's no emphasis on it.
Yeah.
Like some, I've seen some padatis where it's the Buddha Shuddhi and the Manasa Puja are huge.
Mm-hmm.
The meditation, so they must be coming in a bit more from the yoga kind of, mm-hmm. like you see, I think it's in Prema Pradeep. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about that one bhakta is coming, and then these I think devotees, you know, inquisitive come from, or aspiring kind of interest in spiritual life. They come meet the Babaji, and then one of them gets into pure devotion, the other one gets into yoga. The Babaji knows yoga and he's teaching that. But he doesn't catch the devotions aside as strongly. So that means he'll be doing more of the meditation and all those kind of things. Well, on this side, you see, the one, he gets more into the you know, the practical applications.
So you can have that, because I've seen parties. It's, you know, it's like a 20-minute scene going on. You know, Bhutashuddhi, you know, it's like we just say, you know, naham vipro, nacha, none of it, you know, I'm not this body, and, you know, all these, there's some general things like that, but the whole thing together, you know, a couple of minutes, because you're chanting mantra and things, that's easy. But these others are taking in all the elements as they are, the seven dhatus of the body, all this, and this one's this color, that one's that color, this and that, and they're all being destroyed, and then they're all being put back, and then, you know it's a whole scene. So if you're into that stuff, then, you know, you can.
When I travel with my deities in China, sometimes it's just, you know, just an apple. But when I do the offering, then I mean the feast of the group.
Yeah, so that's the way to go. Yeah.
I mean everything. I mean like 20 preps.
Yeah.
Every detail, you know.
Yes, yes, exactly. That's the whole point, is that that's the advantage of the mantra. If you understand it, advantage of the mantra puja, you can offer a puja with facilities much greater than what you actually have.
Gold.
Yeah, gold and silks and, you know, I mean, the all these things. So how much detail you want to get into, you can go into. Yeah. You know, it's like that one, what was that, that last offering to Nityananda Prabhu by Yamuna Devi?
Yeah.
108 preparations. She did a whole meditation. So, yeah, so like that. And she couldn't get out of bed, so she couldn't even cook at all. So, like that. So that's the way to do it. Or, you know, you're cooking a simple lunch and something like that, but you offer this whole thing. You know, but it makes it very, very nice. I think it was in a Sankirtan van, and, you know, someone went into the shop, bought something like that. There was, you know, they brought something in a bag. But we were in, you know, you're out in the market, so everybody's walking by, so you can't, you know, take things out and do a proper offering. So, you know, on the dashboard, there's always a little picture of Prabhupada. I just took the picture and put it inside the bag, because otherwise you couldn't take it out. So Prabhupada had lunch in the bag. The advantages of Manasa Puja.
The devotees used to go to the supermarket and pull that Brahman thread out. What are you doing? I'm offering the iron.
I heard it was offering the whole store.
Really? Yeah.
It's a shirisha, and then take anything they want, it's all prasad. That's faith.
We heard the explanation why shirisha, you know, why? Because Vishnu also has to eat. That's how you offer Sri Vishnu service.
Yeah, for many years it was this big thing. You want to offer just the Sri Vishnu service to Sri Vishnu. We go to your Vaishnavas, we worship Krishna. We don't say Sri Vishnu.
I think in the original, when you drink water, Prabhupada mentioned that. Yeah. Saying Sri Vishnu, and then drink water. So that way even the water is offered. And also, like, you know, Vishnu Bhakti Pradyadevi is such a much. Because he gave that, you know, that's a no, Krishna, that's the same principle. The mantra is Vishnu Bhakti. So it's not a problem. But also, if he adjusted, it's not a problem either. But saying that the other one's wrong, it's not wrong. Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and he takes the Vedic mantra, but he'll add Prajapati Vishnu.
Prajapati Vishnu.
Yeah, he'll add Vishnu's name in. Prajapati stays, because there's a mantra to Prajapati, but the point is Prajapati is Krishna. You know, Indra is Krishna, Varuna is Krishna. Three, two, 167. This Gaura Priti Rati, which spontaneously appears and spreads in the devotee's heart, is the Stai Bhava, the Rasa. This Priti becomes excellent. This Priti becoming excellent becomes Prema. When it becomes more elevated, it becomes Sneha. It becomes even more elevated, it is called Raga. 3.2.168. Gaura Priti Stai Bhava. The most sober Parjumna could not open his mouth in order to speak to his father. He did not lift his tear-filled eyes and threw only furtive glances at Krishna's lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada. In regard to Krishna as one superior, is called reverential feeling. And when, in addition to this, a devotee feels that Krishna is his protector, this transcendental love for Krishna is increased, and his combined feelings are called reverential devotion. Yeah, so reverential feeling, and then reverential devotion. When this steady reverential devotion increases further, it's called love of Godhead, in reverential devotion. Attraction and affection are two prominent symptoms of this stage. So that means sneha and raga. And this reverential devotional attitude, Prajumna never talked to his father in a loud voice. In fact, he never so much as unlocked his lips of his mouth, nor did he ever show his face filled with tears. He would always glance only at the lotus feet of his father. Yeah, so attraction and affection are two prominent symptoms. Well, in the sambrama, it may get to there, but they're not necessarily as prominent. The service is main, and these other may come up. But in the gaura, then the sneha and raga will be more prominent. Like that. So. 3.2.169. Prema. O killer of demons, the feeble enemies managed to take Abhimanyu from your hands and killed him. Though your desire to protect the whole world, However, Subhadra's auspicious affection for you did not increase by one degree. Srila Prabhupada. There is another example of steady and fixed love for Krishna in the instance of Arjuna's informing him of the death of Arjuna's son, Abhimanyu. Who was also the nephew of Krishna. Abhimanyu was the son of Subhadra, Krishna's younger sister. He was killed at the Battle of Kurukshetra by the combined efforts of all the commanders in King Duryodhana's army, namely Karna, Ashwatthama, Jayadratha, Bhishma, Kripacharya, and Dronacharya. In order to assure Krishna that there was no change of love on Subhadra's part, Krishna Arjuna informed him, although Abhimanyu was killed almost in your presence, Subhadra's love for you is not agitated at all, nor has it even slightly changed its original color. Right, so, yeah, footnote 29. Subhadra is not Krishna's offspring, but his younger sister. Krishna's younger brothers and sisters are included in this rasa, because they're also in this Gaura Priti rasa. Because it has that, you know, in other words, that has that family connection kind of aspect. Mm-hmm. So that junior aspect. Yeah, so that love for him, so it goes on, because otherwise you could say, oh, Krishna, how do you let this happen? You're in control of everything and all that. But then that's how pastimes work. There'll be some way it unfolds and everything like that. You know, because the whole point was is he's actually the Soma's son, and he agreed to allow him to come for 16 days. You know, because all the demigods were to send or to come themselves and all like this, you know, to take part in the pastimes when Krishna descends. But then Soma just couldn't tolerate being separated from his son, so he agreed to 16 days he can leave. So that's 16 of our years. So that's why I meant he was 16. So then after that, then he went back to his father, because then I think there's a pastime where Arjuna is lamenting and not functioning properly. So Krishna takes him to Soma's place. And there's you know, Soma's son there interacting with Soma and all that in the court, and they don't really regard Arjuna. And that kind of, you know, it's like someone's your father, and then someone's kind of doing that kind of service for 16 days, and then you're back with your father. You know, you're out somewhere, your father goes on a trip, so someone takes care of you, something like that, like a guardian. So you don't take it, he doesn't have that same feeling. So then Arjuna understood, and then he went back, and then he could fight.
That's in Mahabharata, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything's in Mahabharata. So, yeah, so therefore, she's not, because she's Yogamaya, she's the one arranged in the whole thing anyway. 3.2.170. Oh, Prajumna. All right, because he has to go some way. So the point is you know, it's just like your son has to go and that, and you know, but how does he go? He's a Kshatriya. How does he go? He broke into this chakra vyuha, which no one knows how to do. That's already a glory. And then, is it? And he learned it when he's in the womb.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. And then getting in there, he wipes out one Akshahini of soldiers. And so then all these seven Maharatis have to defeat him. So, since he is going after his 16th birthday, they go out with a bang, right? Yeah. So 3-2-170. O Arjuna, stop that excessive trembling and relieve your choking voice. Wipe the tears from your eyes and look at me. Give me your hand full of goosebumps. O child, what is this veneration for your father? Right? So, that's the rasa. Srila Prabhupada. The affection that Krishna has for his devotees was expressed by him when he asked Arjuna not to feel so bashful before him. He addressed Arjuna thus, my dear boy, just give up your feeling of inferiority and do not hang your neck. Just talk with me in a clear voice and do not shed tears. You may look straight at me and you may place your hands on my body without any hesitation. There is no need of exhibiting so much reverence before your father. Doesn't mean that relationship changes, but that's where you see is that for the parent, there's always the feeling of oneness. For the child, there's always the feeling of difference. So this oneness and difference, Krishna sees everything as him. At the same time, his creation sees themselves as separate, how you say, entities, as part and parcel of Krishna. Right? So the rasa has both of that. If there's not the oneness, where's the commonality? But if there's not the difference, how do you express the relationship? So that's why the two go together. So you see here, then, the parental. Parent sees, you know, no need of the formality. The child is seeing it. So, 3-2-171. If indicated by his father, Arjuna will immediately drink poison as if it were nectar. And if his father does not permit it, he will reject nectar as if it were poison. Srila Prabhupada. Arjuna's attachment for Krishna was always exhibited by his action. Right? So therefore the effect you always see. Whenever he was ordered by his father to execute something, he would immediately execute the order, taking the task as nectarian, even though it may have been poison. Similarly, whenever he would find something to be disapproved of by his father, he would immediately reject it as poison, even though it may have been nectarian. So that's why you see is, oh, we have all these, these contemporary philosophies and speculation and various kinds of facilities and all that. And so, in one sense, it may be considered in the contemporary environment as nectarian. But we see if Krishna and the Acharyas have said it's not, it's just rejected. And something that, you know, the austerity and all that we try to do for Krishna, that's accepted as nectar, even though the rest of society we see it as poison. So that's the mood of service.
Externally, when the devotees act on that particular principle, externally to the world it looks pretty extreme and radical, and people build up a certain point of view on the religious movement made of fanatics who are not inclusive.
Mm-hmm. And they but the point is these kind of people you can't please anyway, so
you can't please them.
Why even endeavor?
But then devotees, for the sake of preaching, they will want to.
No, wait. You can't just say preaching. You have to put your fingers up and do the quotation marks.
Sorry,
preaching.
In the sake of
preaching.
Teaching.
Yes. Preaching, teaching.
I mean, I meet devotees all the time. I discuss this with my wife all the time. Like, she reads something, right? She reads the Bhagavatam every day.
Right.
While I do my puja, and she goes, people can't accept that stuff. People can't understand this. How are you going to make them do? Why do we sell the sets of Bhagavatam? People can't understand it.
Yeah.
How are they going to accept it? I said, they're not meant to accept it.
Point is, isn't
keep
it?
Reading.
They're meant to get purified.
Unless they get purified, that's right.
Because that's the whole thing, is there is no... Because if you want to have stuff that is going to be pleasing to the karmis and with, that nobody will have any problem with, then you could take all of the volumes of Prabhupada's books and you could probably reduce it down to a little pamphlet or something.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's why you don't mess with the books. You just leave them as they are, because otherwise then, hey, then if you keep going, you're going to keep going with it. You know, where does it end? Yeah, because do they like the 4 8 principles? You know, we have to get rid of that. Do they like getting up in the morning? No, like this. And even though you see the karmis, they always really successful. They get up in the morning. They get up early.
Yeah.
I saw one thing where one celebrity, he gets up at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Most get up at like 4. You know, some of the like latest kind of is just general 5, but if they're serious 4. Like that, these, you know, seals and that, they get up like 3. This guy got up at 2.
Of course.
You know, so I mean, it's standard stuff, you know. But, you know, that's the thing, is they're trying to please it, and when they say no one's going to accept it, which no one? It's going to be middle class who are educated. That's the group. And it's growing the numbers, so it has more people. But the point is generally those who are below that group and those above that group, they will have much less problem with this, these things. Because above that, they accept authority, because they know that's how things run. Below that, they're more, generally tend to be more open to, you know, God consciousness and authority and structure. It's the ones in the middle, they have the luxury to think that they can function on their own, because they work for somebody. They don't have to make, in the middle class doesn't make the world work. They work for somebody who makes it work. You know? So that's the thing, is that they think you can just do anything you want. You know.
I mean, the whole it's quite an interesting phenomenon when you look at the whole concept of book distribution. The amount of knowledge we give to people, like now they have these sets, you know, they sell those sets in America. So many people are buying those sets.
Yeah.
And you look at those titles, Nectar of Devotion, Teachings of Queen Kunti,
yes,
Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. People are taking these home.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's like, where are they qualified to read these books?
No, but even if they just sit there, just sit there in their house, they'll get benefit. I remember one devotee telling me that, I guess, I don't remember, I think it was some relative, it may have been his own family, or it may have been someone else in the family, like a grandmother or something like that. And they had the book, and he had seen the book on the shelf for like 10 years or something, since he was small. Then one day he decided to have a look at it, and then looked at it, and then became a devotee.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he probably said, they're time bombs.
Yeah, the time bombs.
It's just a matter of time before someone looks at it and someone becomes affected. So he says, even if you read one page, you know, one sentence, it will change your life, because the chit potency is there. That's the point. We're trying to say, no, the words are going to do. No, it's the chit potency is going to do. Because the point is whoever is complaining about, oh, no one will accept that, every one of those persons who's complaining about that joined this movement, despite all those things. You know, so therefore, what's the meaning of these complaints? And as Prabhupada was saying in that conversation that you brought up, that then leave that point. Talk about something else. There's unlimited points. Why do you have to bring that one up?
Yeah, Prabhupada says there are so many other topics.
Yeah, just like that. And this is the fun part that's not understood in that, is that as a technique, that's what Krishna Samhita is. When someone brings up one of those that you can't discuss because they don't have the adhikar, but you have to give them some kind of answer that will just, they'll drop the subject. That's what Krishna Samhita is doing. It's telling you, when they say this, you just say that line. It's just like, oh, you know, but, you know, where'd the soul fall from? Yeah, we fell from Brahman. Bang. Conversation is guaranteed 100% finished. Bhaktisiddhanta would just say that, because it's one of those things, you won't understand it. So you fell from Brahman. And then everyone dropped it, because what do they do? Because we want an answer in time and space. So then Brahman means the Brahma Jyoti. But he didn't say the Brahma Jyoti.
He says Brahman.
He says Brahman, because Krishna's the supreme Brahman, his energy is Brahman, the superior Brahman, then there's the Jiva, is the marginal Brahman, then there's the external energy as inferior Brahman. So he fell from the Tathasta platform, which is the Brahma Buddha platform, which is Brahman. You're appreciating that level. and now you take it forward to the personal, you move into prema. You don't, then you move into the material world. So you fell from Brahman. But they're taking it as a location.
Yeah, right.
And so they just stop talking. But you have, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, all those points, that these quips that he gives there, are ways that you sidetracked it without actually saying something that's against the philosophy. But you have to know deeply the philosophy to understand how that is. Just like the opens to, you know, the descriptions in the Puranas of the experience in hell, he says, is imagination. Mm-hmm. And so, bang, they're going to accept this guy. He's, you know, he's logical, this, that, and then he gives the whole rest of the lecture. I think it's in a book called the Bhagavad. Mm-hmm. I think that's the opening, like that. First, right there, he says that. Then the whole rest of the time he sparks and they all listen. Because he said like that. Because now he's a thoughtful person, he's not a fanatic. But the point is you don't have a gross body in hell. You only have the subtle body. So that means the mind. So that means your experience is through the mind. That's imagination. You experience something through the mind, not physically. It's called imagination. So we can explain it. Yeah, it's not, because others say, oh, see, he's saying something, and so they'll make up their own that sidelines it. No, you have to be very careful. So that's why the Krishna Samhita, in dealing with those, that you have to be that mature. It's a book for madhyamas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I think in the introduction, says, so many books are written for the neophytes and the uttamas, very few are written for the madhyamas. So this is written for them. So that if you are on that platform, can use it. But if you're not, then, you know, don't read it. If you're a Kanista, leave it, because you won't understand it. And it's just like they say that, just like Prabhupada said, just leave that point. So if they won't leave the point, you say a little quip, and then that's out. You know, because we take it that the karmis are going to argue it. No, it's the devotees argue it more than the karmis do. Karmis say something like this, you make a point, it's gone. You know, but the devotees, they'll keep arguing it just for, you know, policy or whatever it is. So that's why we have to be very, very careful. Because otherwise, if you change anything, you lose everything. What's being missed is that the Shastra, the culture, the practices are coming from the spiritual world. So if we want to go to the spiritual world, why wouldn't we be interested in following the practices? It's a mundane concept to say, oh, this is from India. You know, that's Indian culture, but we're European, we follow that, or American, we follow that, or we're hawkers, and so we do whatever we do. You know? But the whole thing is no, that's mundane. That's not philosophy. It's not even culture. So that's the difficulty, is that It is the culture of the spiritual world. It is what they do, and there's a reason for it. So there is an effect of that cause of doing things to please Krishna.
Is it for the same reason that Bhaktivinoda Thakur also came up with the different ages, the dates, the Mahabharata, the Bhagavatam? He has a different opinion about the different yugas.
It's just something to present, but the point is it's not a different opinion. That's the acharyas point that out. There is never a difference of opinion. If we see a difference of opinion, don't go there. You know, like that. We have to be very, very careful. Like some, I remember one. It was one article that it had, you know, that in difference between Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and Baladeva Vibhushan's approach to the Gita. And it's not that they were pointing out that he's bringing out this aspect and he's bringing out that aspect, but they're talking the same thing. It was being brought out like, these are two different opinions from two different directions, and how do we reconcile this? You know, and it was being approached as, you know, academic. Well, there's this, but then someone says this, and now what do we do? And they give no real conclusion. So why even write stuff like that down? Mm-hmm. That means then you should not be studying that. If you can't, Rupa Goswami said, if you can't reconcile what the acharyas are saying with your acharya, then it's not devotional service. It's just mental speculation, so therefore it's left. So that's the whole thing, is there is not. He's presenting something that they'll catch. Like sometimes Prabhupada also saying, you know, they say they went to the moon, but they, you know, you listen to that, and so, you know, or just like they say they went to the moon. if I say they say they went to the moon, people won't catch that you just said they say. I heard some of his early lectures. He'll use stuff like that. And so then, you know, and if they went, then you know this. But you know, but the Shastra is saying, you know, this and that, and it's the heavenly place and all that. So where is all the stuff? Then it makes a doubt.
Right.
So it's just a matter of knowing where to give that slack, so that you can, the real point's not arguing over these things. These are secondary external points. It's over the primary thing.
The real point is to bring forward the Siddhanta.
Yeah.
And in such a way that people will be able to appreciate and accept it.
Yes. You also have the aspect is that there is these, what do you call it? Kalpa Veda, the different kalpas and how the different things go. So sometimes there's difference. You know, like Mahabharata, Parikshit Maharaj builds a fortress and tries to hide in it, like that. And the Bhagavatam, he goes and sits down next to the Ganga. So you know, different times they do different ways. But this time when it's Swayam Krishna, he does it this way. So the others, then that would be, it's not Swayam Krishna. It would be a Vishnu incarnation. So all these things are going on. You know, just that makes for the variety and fun. So different ages they could do. When it's documented and when it's written down, it doesn't mean that that's when the book was produced. Just like we say the Rig Veda's always been there, but if it somehow or another got written down at this time, now, by modern calculation, now they'll say it manifests. Before that, it didn't exist. We know it always existed. So even if you want to put times like that on it, that just means when it was, how you say, published in written form. It's already been published in spoken form before that. You know, it's eternal. So depending on how approached, you can use these things, if that's going to work. But you don't use that in a class. You only use that when you're talking to you know, some academic or some karmi that this is an issue for them. So you just see these are the, yeah, so therefore, because the point is in any case, it's still thousands of years ago. It wasn't like, you know, Rig Veda was documented in 1954 and then, you know, Sama Veda in 62 and then like this and that. And, you know, Tarva Veda just came out last year and so now the Veda is complete and, you know, it's still way before their timing needs. In any case, they were still running around, living in a cave or something like that. So, you know.
Before Adam and Eve.
Yeah. You know, there's something going on. You know. Okay. 3.2.172, the different definitions of ayoga and yoga and their subdivisions for gaura priti, preyo and vatsaya rasa is the same as those of sambrahma priti rasa. Okay, so now having given all the definitions there, it comes up in the natural thing. Now he's pointing to the different definitions of yoga and ayoga, their subdivisions for the priti, gaurava priti, preyo and vatsaya are the same as those of sambrahma. So those are all the same. So they won't have to be explained again. They might be referred to, but you don't have to get into the detail. All the examples have been given. So what we've been given now is that is the basis for everything above that. So it's in the sambrahma in those areas. Yoga and the yoga, that'll be there. In the gaura, that'll be there. In the preyo and vatsaya. Like that. So it appears conjugal, that will be, and it's, there'll be some slight, there are some differences that it's worth dealing with it on its own. Srila Jiva Goswami. For the three, Trishu, Priti, Preyo, and Vatsalya Rasas, the respective definitions for Ayoga and Yoga and their subdivisions are the same as those previously described, specifically in relation to Sambrahma Priti, but which were described for Priti Rasa in general, including Gaurava. Like, so whatever was in general. Instead of Veda, sometimes Samgya, definition is seen. However, this verse indicates that for Shantaras, different definitions of Paroksha and Shakshatkara have been given, and for Mathura Rasa, different definitions of Viparlamba and Sambhoga, as well as Purva Rag will be given. Right? So that's what we were discussing before. Is that because we have they're coming from three different places. They're coming from three different places, so that the Jashantas is expanding from the Sandini. These three here, the Priti, Prayo, and Vatsalya are expanding from Samvit, and the conjugal is from Pladini. So there's going to be some differences. So the terms used in one won't necessarily be used in the others. There may be common terms, of course, but sometimes either how it applies is different, or there's going to be just different terms used. Like you see here, yoga, ayoga, that's what's used for these three rasas. Mm-hmm. But we see that Vibralama and Stambog, that's used in the conjugal. And then the paroksha and sakshatkara have been given. That's in the shanta. So there's some difference in there, because they technically never feel a separation as such, but there may be some kind of differences in the feelings, how they're moving. So there's some definition there, that Vipralamba and Sambhog. Because ayoga means you're not with the yoga you're with, so there'll be some symptoms, but Vipralamba, the intensity is so much greater, and then the being with is so much greater. Therefore it has different names. Is that good? Okay, now we're going to get into... the separation meeting and all those things. I'm going to go into all that.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.
Jai. Jai.